All right. Well, this morning we're going to begin our study in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Let's read two verses. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Notice with me in verse 1, the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, this morning we're going to begin our series entitled Strength for the Last Days. Strength for the Last Days, and I'll explain in a moment why we are looking at this book. And just as a way of introduction, as you look at these verses in the book of 1 Peter, one of the main themes of this book is hope and comfort during a time of suffering. During a time of suffering and persecution. Now, just a little background to this book. During the first half of the century, when Christianity began to spread like wildfire from after the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior, during that first half of the century, most of the persecution against Christians came from the Jews. The Jews that didn't want to accept Christ as Messiah, and most of the Christians were persecuted by unbelieving Jews. Now, the days that followed, though, would change that, particularly when the Roman Emperor Nero came to power. Now, in AD 64, you may have heard of the great fire that took place in Rome. In AD 64, a huge fire broke out in the city of Rome, and it appeared as if the whole city would be consumed and destroyed. Now, the Roman people were convinced that Nero was behind the burning of the city. And you might say, why would he burn the city? Well, you see, Nero was obsessed with building. And the people believed that Nero began the great fires in Rome in AD 64. And they believed that Nero wanted to destroy the city in order that he could build it up to his own glory. And in fact, there was a report of Nero playing a fiddle while the city was burning. And basically, the people were convinced that Nero was behind the burning of the city, and he probably was. Now, we don't know for sure, but what we do know for sure is that Nero was in big trouble. He needed to find someone to blame for the destruction that had taken place. People had lost their homes. They had lost their businesses. They had lost their livelihoods. They were about to rebel against the government, and Nero had to find someone to blame. And guess who he blamed? Perhaps the easiest people to blame? The Christians. He found someone to blame in the Christians. You see, Christians of the day were already subject to slander. Remember, the Christian way of life is so different from the world, because when we're born again, we are a new creature in Jesus Christ. And families already began to be divided because of their newfound faith and salvation in Christ. And they already there was a spiritual revolution, if you will, taking place because of people that were saved. You know, their meetings were held under great suspicion. People that weren't saved didn't really understand what was taking place, just like today. People don't really understand what we're doing here today, do they? People held Christians under great suspicion. Also, they were preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. They were preaching that Christ was crucified, risen again, and he's coming again, and then the world will be destroyed. How? By fire. So with a message like that, they were very easy targets for Nero to blame, that the Christians are the ones who are fanatics, and they have set this city alight because of their fanatical religion. Of course they didn't, but they were easy to blame. So suddenly, every Christian in the Roman Empire was in peril for their lives, and great persecution and great suffering began to take place among Christians of the day. Now Tacitus, a Roman historian of the day, now this is just an introduction, he tells us of one of the most horrific accounts where Nero, and some of you may have heard this horrific account, Nero would roll Christians in pitch and would set them alight and would put them in his garden parties in order to light up the night festivities in his palace. And that's just one account of the horrific and tragic events that took place. You see, I'm just trying to paint the picture here that Christians of the day were under horrific persecution. And I won't go through the details and describe to you the disgusting bloodshed that took place and how Christians were thrown to the lions and tortured and crucified and executed because of their faith. And what Peter was facing was a people that were in need, a people that were in need of God during a great time of persecution and suffering. And that's whom the book of 1 Peter was written to. Christians that were facing great persecution, great suffering, great trials. In fact, the word suffering appears 16 times in this book. This is the major theme of the book of 1 Peter. Now here today in Cairns, I have to admit, we know nothing of the persecution that these believers face, do we? We know nothing of the suffering that these believers face, but I'm mindful that each of us will face trials and suffering in our lives, won't we? We face suffering in a different way, in a very media-oriented oppressive way, where there's so much sin and temptation that overwhelms us through new media today. And there's certainly a spiritual battle that we are fighting on a different level. But we all face trials and we all face suffering. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a promise, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we need to remember, brethren, we live in the last days. The time is at hand. And our faith is not getting any popular, is it? No, it's not. We don't know how much persecution is just ahead, on the road ahead. We don't know what's coming for Christians today. But we do know it's not getting any better, and we do know it's going to get much, much worse as times progress. And we need to be a prepared people, not only for the hatred that will come our way, but also for the trials that we are facing today. Some of you are facing trials. Some of you are facing persecution at work or among your family for your stand as a Christian. You see, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, by the way, today is not the time to hide in our homes and pull into our little shell, if you will, and hide our faith from others. No, today is a day where more so we need to be preaching the gospel boldly. We need to be living for the Lord boldly so people can be saved before it's too late. And then what we need, therefore, is to get God's help on how to live a victorious Christian life. How can we face the trials and the suffering and the persecution as Christians and live in victory in order to be used for the Lord? Well, we're going to learn some lessons about that this term, amen. How we can live victorious in these last days. And one of the wonderful themes of this book, guess what? Is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Is the return of our Saviour. And so that's why we're looking at this book this year. It's one of the main focuses. So our lesson this morning, just as an introduction, is be strong in a strange land. Be strong in a strange land. Now there in your notes, the first blank is Peter the Apostle. He's the one that we first find mentioned in this book. So your first blank is Peter the Apostle. Peter the Apostle. If you do miss a blank, they're all on the back page at the bottom. Peter the Apostle. Now notice what verse 1 tells us. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now most of you would know who Peter is. Now he was perhaps most notorious for having the dreaded foot in mouth disease. Often he would put his foot in his mouth and he would say things just that came to his mind straight away. But he was also a man of faith. Remember, he was the only one that stepped out of the boat when the Lord Jesus was walking on water. And he walked on water. Peter was a man of great faith. But also, perhaps for his failings, we know him most well for the time that he denied Christ. Remember when he denied the Lord, and people asked him when the Lord was captured, do you know this man? And he said no, and he denied him three times. Now on the eve of the denial of Christ, notice what the Lord Jesus told him in Luke chapter 22. You can turn with me in your Bibles there, or you can look in your notes. Luke chapter number 22. In the book of Luke chapter number 22, the Lord Jesus told these words to Peter before he would deny him. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Luke chapter 22 verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You see, the Lord warned him of the fact that Simon will fall into temptation. That's what he said to Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, Satan hath desired you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Now, when wheat is sifted, what takes place? What are they trying to do? They're trying to remove the part that's usable from the part that's unusable. The wheat grain gets separated from the chaff. The useless gets separated from the useful. Now, when we are saved, the Lord Jesus Christ lives within us and we have a usefulness for God in our life. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to live for Him. But guess what? As soon as you and I get saved, just like Peter of old, when we get serious for God and want to live for Him, the devil wants to sift us as wheat. He wants to take away that part which is useful to God. And he wants to just leave that part which is useless to God. He wants us to fall into sin and temptation. We can't lose our salvation, but what he wants to do is to ruin our testimony. He wants us to fall into sin, and he wants us to live a wicked life. So what will be left in our lives? That which is useless to God. That's what the devil wanted to do to Peter. So he said to the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you. And certainly Peter fell into temptation. He denied the Lord. He fell into sin. The devil certainly did sift him. What I'd like us to see this morning, that you and I are in a spiritual warfare. You know, every Christian father in this room is a target of the devil. Every Christian mother in this room is a target of Satan. Every young adult, single young adult here this morning is a target of the devil. Why? Because we are on the Lord's side. The devil knows he can't steal our salvation away. So what is the next best thing he wants to do? Make us unusable. Sift us as wheat. That's what he wants to do in your life and mine. But here's the encouraging part. Look at verse 32 in Luke chapter 22. Let's read verse 32 together, shall we? It's in your notes or in your Bibles. Luke 22, verse 32. On to 1, 2. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, Peter was already saved. The word converted means to turn back. So the Lord Jesus was saying, he said, Peter, I am praying for you. I have prayed for thee, and I am praying that your faith will fail not. When you turn back to me and confess this sin of denial, strengthen your brethren. And my friends, that is a wonderfully encouraging verse, amen. Even though the devil attacks us and you and I fall at times, we have no reason to stay down. And my friends, you and I this year can walk in victory, and it doesn't matter what has happened in the past year or what has happened in the past and your past failings and your past sins. Let me encourage you, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. And you can get up this year and walk in victory and be useful for the Lord. Amen. You see, 1 Peter, don't miss this wonderful truth this morning. 1 Peter is an answer to the prayers of Jesus Christ. The book of 1 and 2 Peter is an answer to the prayers of Jesus Christ. Because what did he say? He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. You're going to be useful. Don't be discouraged. Don't despair. After you fail, turn back to me. Confess your sin. I'm here to strengthen you. You'll be usable when you come back to me. Strengthen your brethren. And what did the Lord use Peter to do? He used Peter to write a book to people who are suffering and overwhelmed by horrible persecution of the day, to strengthen them with the word of God. My friends, that is a miraculous answer to prayer from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was fulfilled when Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter. Let me encourage you, the Lord is praying for you this year. Yes, you can be used. You might be sitting here this morning and say, Pastor, you don't know my past. Well, guess what? I may not know. But the Lord does. And He's praying for you. That your faith fail not. Don't give up in 2015, my friends. The time is at hand. And in a time such as this, we need to grab hold of the promises of God. And we need to rise up again. And we need to strengthen the brethren. We need to be an encouragement to one another as we walk with the Lord this year. Let me encourage you to determine to make that a goal. You say, Pastor, how can I rise up? Well, remember, God told Peter to strengthen the brethren. How did He do that? He wrote them a letter. He wrote them the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God was the source of strength. You see? Now, the source of your strength and mine this year is found alone in Jesus Christ and in the words of Christ, in the Word of God. See, the Word of God is powerful. And when God said to Peter, strengthen thy brethren, what they needed more than anything else was the Word of God. Now, church family, you've made a good start this year by being in church. But brethren, we need to be in church again and again and again. Why? So we can be strengthened in the Word of God. Amen. If those believers who face horrible persecution needed this letter that Peter would write to strengthen them, we too, amen, need the Word of God. That's what we learn about Peter. Let me encourage you as we go through this book, be prayerful. Prayerfully read this book and think of the trials in Peter's life. He was a believer that was martyred for his faith, wasn't he? Think of the trials that these ones faced and let God strengthen your faith. As we've looked at Peter the Apostle this morning, I hope you're still with me and you're encouraged already, amen? Roman numeral number 2, let's look at the people of God. Now, Peter wrote to a people that we are told about in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Who are these people? Well, look with me there. The Bible says, Peter, in verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout these areas. Now, these names of places are found in what the Bible tells as Asia Minor, what we know as Turkey today, modern day Turkey. These people lived in this area. Now, many of them were Jewish believers that were saved in Jerusalem, but were scattered because of the dispersion that took place in Jerusalem, the scattering of believers out of the city of Jerusalem. And they were believers that were scattered throughout Turkey, and they were facing the great persecution under the Emperor Nero of the day. Now, notice what Peter calls them, a special word. He called them what? He called them strangers. He called them strangers. Now, that word stranger sounds means a little like what it sounds. It means someone who is a temporary resident in a strange land. Someone who's a temporary resident in a strange land. For example, if you see someone in your front yard that you've never seen before, you might be a little bit alarmed and you would say, hey, this is a stranger. I've never seen them before. And what more than that, they're not meant to be here. Amen? They're not meant to be here. And that's what a stranger is. But more so in the Word of God, a stranger who is someone who is a foreigner, a temporary resident in a strange land, whose thoughts are fixed on their home, on where they came from. And my friends, here in the Word of God, we find a wonderful, wonderful description of the child of God, of God's children. You see, you and I also are strangers in a strange land. The word stranger means alien. The word stranger means pilgrim. And you and I are pilgrims upon this earth. We are strangers in a strange world. You see, we are passing through this world. We are not meant to stay here. This world is not my home, amen. I'm just a passing through. That's a wonderful hymn. And my friends, this is not our home. Because why? Because the moment we were saved, we received a home that was above, amen. We received a home that is in the heavens. That is our home, our eternal home that's waiting for us. And my friends, we are just passing through this world. And as we face trials and suffering and persecution, we need to remember a very special truth right here in verse 1 by 1, that we are strangers to this world. We are pilgrims. And that truth will help us. You see, we need to be careful to never get the idea that this world is going to sympathize with what we're going through. We need to be careful to never get the idea that this world is going to understand our faith. It will not. In fact, because they reject Christ, they will also reject you. You see, many of us are shocked at the resistance and the persecution we face because we're Christians. Why are we shocked? Because we forget who we are. We forget that we are strangers in this world. We forget that we are pilgrims. In fact, if we are living for God and we are living godly lives, we ought to expect persecution. We ought to expect people to not like us. One of the hardest things, I believe, for a new Christian is to get used to the idea that suddenly friends and even family don't like you anymore. Suddenly there's a wedge. Suddenly, as the Lord Jesus said, there is a sword that's there of division. Why? Because of light and darkness. Because of saved and unsaved. And that is the life God wants us to live as Christians. But first of all, we need to understand that this is who we are. And this is what we do. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. Don't be shocked when your boss doesn't understand you want to be in church on Sunday. Amen. They will never understand. You're the one that needs to take a stand for your faith and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Don't expect the world to understand. Don't expect to sympathize. Amen? Because we are pilgrims. We are strangers. If someone loves the world and is into all the things of this world, guess what? If they're not saved, that's normal. But it's not for us. You see, the believers in the day that were suffering great persecution need to be reminded, hey, you were strangers and pilgrims, not only because you are scattered abroad, but also spiritually. You will face persecution. Peter was encouraging them to remember that fact. We are children of God. And that is how God sees us. And if you're going to be able to face the trials and the hatred and perhaps the unkind things that will come your way because you are living as a Christian, you need to remember that we are a pilgrim, amen? We're not put here and left here to blend into the world. Now, notice what the verse says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We are pilgrims and strangers, but we're here for a purpose. Why has God left us here if we are strangers in this world? Look at 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Let's read this verse out loud together. I believe it's in your notes. 1, 2. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You see, the context of this verse is that God expects us to live a separated life. He expects us to be strangers to this world. He expects us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He expects us to show a difference to others by living separate to others. Why? So that we can be a witness to people in this world. So that we can be a testimony to the lost in this world. You see, we are the light of the world. And God says light and darkness do not mix. They need to be separate. And listen to this. It's there in your notes. If there is no difference in the life of a Christian and the life of an unbeliever, then we have no message to give to the world that God changes lives. If we are living just the same way as the average unsaved person, my friends, we have no message to give to everyone, anyone. We have no message to tell others that Jesus Christ changes lives. If we are not living separate from the world, and we accept the fact that we are pilgrims and strangers, and we are prepared to live a unique Christian life, and my friends, God can't use us at all. We have been sifted by Satan because we love the world. Let me encourage you this morning to see yourself as God sees you. You are a stranger. You are a pilgrim. This world is not your home. Any minute the Lord Jesus Christ can come and take us up to be with Him, and we will be with Him forever, and we will no longer be here. We are strangers and pilgrims. There in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Is that verse in your notes this morning? Look there with me. The Bible says, and Peter wrote this to these believers, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now the word pilgrim there again means a stranger, but a stranger who stands beside the people. That's what the word pilgrim means. A stranger who stands beside the people. You see, God doesn't expect us here as Christians to live in a little enclave or a township outside of town like the Amish people and keep to ourselves. No, He wants us to live separate from the world, but He has left us in the world to be a witness. You see, some of you might be saying, "Well, Pastor, if I'm not like the world, how can I reach out to others?" No, God wants us to have separate values and convictions and a separate lifestyle from the world, but He wants us to be next to our workmates at work to show that difference. He wants us to be with our family in our homes to show that difference. He wants us to be here in the city of Cairns among unbelievers to show that difference. He wants us to be pilgrims who stand beside the people. What we need to do in our lives, we need to set a border. A border between the way we live and the way the unsaved people live. Wherefore, come out from among them. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 in your notes, which you've just read. The Bible says, abstain from what? Fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You see, when you and I love the world, when you and I aren't living as pilgrims and strangers, but when we love the world and we take in the things of the world, you and I experience a whole different kind of suffering than what God wants to allow in our lives. We experience a different kind of suffering. What kind of suffering? It's the suffering of sin. The suffering of wickedness. We will sow what we reap. That is not God's plan for us to suffer because of sin. But so often the suffering that you and I face in our lives is not the persecution from the world, is not the hatred from our relatives, but it's the suffering we face because of our own personal sin. The Bible tells us, does it not? Abstain from fleshly lust, which what? War against the soul. War against your own soul, your sins. Well, war against your own life. You see, when sin is undealt with, that will add a weight of pressure and trouble in your life that God has not planned for us to have. And before we go any further, as we look into the suffering and trials of the Christian life, we need to address the suffering and trials of our own sinful choices. And you see, the thing is with the sin in our lives, God won't give us the grace to live in sin. He won't give us the victory to live in sin. He won't. Because that's not His plan for us. He wants us to come to Him and confess it. He wants us to come to Him and turn away from it. He wants us to live as pilgrims and strangers in this world that abstain from fleshly lusts. And when we turn back to Him, as Peter did of old, we are then again usable in the hands of God, and He will give us victory to live as strangers, to say no to sin. But let me encourage you to take account of your life this year. What sins are in your life that are causing you to suffer? Sometimes we blame others, but at the end of the day, often we should blame our own selves because of our choices. And we need to get honest with God in 2015. We need to say, okay, Lord, what sins are there in my life that I need to confess, that I need to be honest with You about, that I need to allow You just to uncover through Your Word? And my friends, we are here for a purpose. God will give us victory if we allow Him. Amen. If we allow Him to deal with our hearts, He will give us victory. And then He can use us as Peter of old. And the believers here in 1 Peter needed to be reminded that, hey, you are strangers. That is not only a reality of your life, but that is also a spiritual reality. We are pilgrims and strangers. Don't be surprised that the devil wants to ruin your life. And there will be temptations this week to face. that you can overcome in the power of Christ. Don't be surprised when hatred comes your way because you take a stand, simply perhaps just by being in church on a Sunday. Don't be surprised at that fact, because we are pilgrims. We are strangers. We need to remember that, don't we? Now, lastly, in your notes, Christ has the power to change lives. The power to change lives. Now, just imagine these people that were suffering. Your blank is the word power, and I'll wrap it up. Just imagine these people that were suffering persecution. Peter wrote them this letter, and they were greatly encouraged. What did he remind them of? And what can we be encouraged with in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2? Peter said, "You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." What he was saying to them is that God knows that you will be saved. You know, when I was saved, God already knew from eternity past that I would be saved. I am elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And election, by the way, is always according to the foreknowledge of God, not the preference of God. Now, God has told us His preference. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that doesn't change the fact that He knew who would be saved and who won't be saved. Those who are not elect are not those who God damns to hell and can be never saved. No, they choose not to respond to the gospel. That's why they're not elect. They choose to reject the gospel. They choose not to receive Jesus Christ. But those of us who are elect, who are saved, we can be encouraged that by this wonderful truth that God knew our sins before we were saved, and He planned for our salvation before we were even born. And God loves us that much, that He sent a Saviour. And that is a precious comfort in a dark day in which we live. The Bible says, notice in verse number 2, through sanctification of the Spirit. You see, when we were saved, we were immediately sanctified by the Spirit of God. We were made holy. Don't miss this. When you and I were saved, we were made holy in the sight of God because of our standing in Jesus Christ. God sees us as if we had never sinned. That is our position in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see, when Peter encouraged the persecuted and suffering believers of the day, he reminded them of something that can be never taken away, amen, which is their precious salvation, their precious standing with God, their precious the precious fact that they have a home in heaven and they are just pilgrims, and no matter what they will face, they can face it with Jesus Christ because they are His and He is theirs. Because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the power of the blood of Christ, we can claim the same grace and the same peace, and it can be multiplied in our lives no matter what we face in this day ahead. My friends, that is the power of God to change our lives. You might say here this morning, God can't change me this year. Yes, He can. And He makes that promise right here in the book of 1 Peter. He has planned your life to be a life of change. The question is, will you let Him? Will you let Him? If you're saved this morning, will you let Him? Peter's a wonderful example of someone that fell into sin, but then turned back to the Lord, and God used him to strengthen the brethren. Be encouraged, Christ is praying for you. Be encouraged that we are pilgrims and strangers. Why does hatred come your way in the workplace, in the home, in the public, when you seek to live a godly life? Let me tell you why, because we are strangers. And that's the way it needs to be. Separate yourself more so from the world so you can be used of God. Make sure you check the sin in your own life. Someone once said that the world is a bridge. The wise man will pass over it and will not build his house upon it. The world is a bridge, my friends. We need to pass over it to our promised home and not settle and build our home upon it. We are pilgrims, and God wants to use us this year. He wants to change us. He wants to give us victory in the trials and the suffering that we face. Let me encourage you to be encouraged, to continue to come to church, to this series, and learn from the Lord.